Good morning. I'm Pastor Brian, for those who may be joining us online for worship for the first time, and I am overjoyed to be leading today, delivering this message today from Palmyra United Methodist Church in Palmyra, Missouri. This is the church where I grew up. This is the pulpit right here where I gave my very first sermon. It was something about David and Goliath and patriotism and the United States Constitution and Eagles and the movie Dead Poets Society. And if you're not sure how those things fit together, frankly, I don't know either. My best guess is that as a 17-year-old kid, it was my best effort, but they probably didn't fit together. Regardless of how bad the message was that day, though, what I do remember is that my head was growing as people were greeting me on the way out and saying what a wonderful service it was and what a wonderful message I gave and how great it was to hear my voice sharing a sermon for the first time. And my head was growing and growing. And then C.B. Keller, one of the pillars of the church, a farmer in the community, he spoke the truth to me. He was walking out and he said, "What a great service today," and shook my hand, and I was ready for what he was going to say next. You know, everybody had just heaped on the praise, and he said, "And we're out 15 minutes early." And suddenly I knew why everybody was so excited about Brian's sermon that day. Sometimes we need to hear the truth. I believe that all evidence of that sermon has been destroyed. At least I hope it has. Any written copies, anybody who was videotaping that day. But if not, I don't want it out there to be used against me. If you ever encounter a YouTube video that says Pastor Brian's first sermon, please disregard it and let me know right away. We don't want that out there. This month at and with Clay Church, we are searching Scripture as we recognize that God has more for us to do, more ministry ahead. And today, we're going to pause for a moment and think about what does it mean to be called by God into ministry. For that reason, it seems especially fitting today to bring this message to you from here, from this place where my call first manifests. Some 30 years ago today, even as I stood here in this pulpit giving my first sermon, I had no idea. None whatsoever at that moment in my life that God might be calling me to be a pastor. No idea. But now I look back and I realize that God was at work in ways that I didn't know at the time, in ways that I couldn't imagine. God was laying out a path ahead, one that sometimes I would follow, to be honest, and sometimes I wouldn't follow. So today, we're gathered together to explore this truth. God has a purpose for you and for your life. Whatever age you are, wherever you are, whatever your past, even now, God is laying out a path for you. Even now, God is laying out a path for us. And God has a journey ahead for us. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For my first sermon in this pulpit, it took a number of years before I realized that God was calling me into the vocation of pastoral ministry. And it's interesting as I look back, there are a couple of things that nobody tells you when you are about to go into ministry, some things that happen to you that nobody sort of warns you about. Number one, you become the designated prayer as soon as you announce that you feel like you are called to pastoral ministry. in your family, in groups, anytime like a group forms a circle and it's time to pray. Once you have announced, it doesn't matter that you don't know anything or that you haven't been to seminary or that you don't even know what it means. As soon as you have spoken the words, I feel called into ministry, everybody looks at you and says, you will pray now. People who have always been the ones who prayed in those circles before, people who you know how to pray, and suddenly in a group, when you are there, they all look at you as though you are the professional prayer and they can't do it anymore. Oh, well, you'll pray for us. Designated group prayer is now your full-time job. The second thing, the second change that happens when you announce that you feel like God is leading you into pastoral ministries, as soon as you make the announcement, your past sins and mistakes disappear. Like even behaviors that may have been shady, they're like magically forgotten even by the people that you know. They've been people now, they're like, well, you're going into pastoral ministry. You obviously have lived a holy and perfect life. It's crazy, really. I mean, it's people who would have cursed in front of you in the past now apologize when they say a curse word, as though somehow something has changed and they need to apologize to you now. Or this is one of my favorite. People will end stories about questionable behavior. You know, you're sitting around and you're just sharing stories, and people will share a story from their past, that kind of questionable behavior, and then they'll look at you and they'll go, I mean, I know you don't have any experience with that. As though somehow ministry erases all your past sins or bad behaviors from memory. And by the way, a quick aside, if this were true, like if it were true that as soon as you announce you're going into ministry, that somehow your past would be magically erased, I have this sense that a lot of people would go into ministry, would want to be a pastor. Just so that you know, it's not true. The mistakes of my past are still back there. And you see, here's the thing. I share these observations with humor, intended to be with humor. But they underlie a belief that I think we need to debunk. The belief is this. Somehow people believe that God calls some people to be pastors and holy people to do some great things. But not everybody. Right? We somehow have this belief that God's calling is something that pastors and really holy people experience. I love this line. You hear every once in a while as a pastor, but you have a special line to the big guy. Well, no, actually I don't. I don't have a line that's any different than your line to the big guy or the big woman or God, whatever language you use for God. I don't. We pastors don't. Yes, I learned some fancy words in seminary. Sometimes I even include those fancy words in my prayers. But God doesn't care. My prayers aren't any better than your prayers. Right? My life has sin just like your life. So the truth is, The truth we're getting at today is that everyone has a calling from God. Calling is just a fancy way of saying that God has a purpose for your life, or God has a role for you to play, a way for you to contribute. Sure, I'm called to serve the church and to preach and to distribute the sacraments. But you're called too. You're called to manage people or to teach or to be a parent or to be a student or all kinds of other things. The question is not whether or not God is calling you. The question is whether or not you will choose to live into the calling that God has put in your life, to accept the invitation of God to live into your purpose. Will you participate on the path that God has laid out for you and being part of the greatest story of God's love in Jesus spreading for the world to know? Have you ever heard of Newpedia? I'm going to guess that the answer is no. Most people have not heard of Newpedia. Newpedia was started in about 2000. The internet was young. It was a group of people put together this idea. They wanted to create an online encyclopedia. They were calling it Newpedia. And the idea was to bring together experts, the best and the brightest, to write articles to populate this online encyclopedia. Well, after 3 years, without much, they had 24 articles by that time. 24 articles in 3 years. Lots of other things just sort of tied up in the writing and editing process, and they gave up. They threw in the towel. Project was canceled. However, Jimmy Wales was one of the founders of Newpedia, and he continued to pursue this idea of an online encyclopedia. He was fascinated by the idea, only he decided to change tactics. He figured that everyone had some expertise to share. So instead of just bringing together the so-called experts, he opened it up to everyone and allowed individuals to write posts voluntarily, and then to edit each other's posts. Now, many of you will have heard of what he created, which is Wikipedia, a massive collection today of over 5 million articles today on all kinds of topics. Now, is Wikipedia perfect? No, it's far from perfect. Students, if you're watching this and you're going back to school, Wikipedia is a great place to start for resources and general information, but dig deeper. Don't trust Wikipedia to prove your facts. But the beauty of Wikipedia, the beauty is that its reach and scope are so impressive because everyone is invited to contribute. If you look up something on Google, chances are one of the things that you're going to get back is an article from Wikipedia. I think of the church in a similar way. The church was not intended to be a handful of experts doing ministry in the world. The church is like the Wikipedia of the love of Jesus. Everybody is invited to contribute their part, their wisdom and knowledge and their experience of the love of Jesus. Everybody is invited to share. You see, if only pastors are sharing the love of Jesus, then we're like Newpedia. 24 entries, not much there. But what if 4.5 million people claimed their role, their call with passion and actively lived out the call of Jesus to make a difference in the world? The Apostle Paul, he wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. And we should note, this idea of gathering virtually today might actually help us to understand the context of Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, to the church in general. Might help us sort of get his intention and what was happening. You see, Paul wasn't writing to one large church gathering. He was actually writing a letter that would be read in lots of smaller house churches, just like today, this message is being heard in lots of homes, right? So imagine for a moment you're sitting in a small community in a house in Ephesus. A group of you have heard the good news of Jesus Christ and were challenged by it to seek to live in a community and help each other live in this way of love and goodness. And you join together regularly and you read scripture and you break bread together and you share meals and you read the words of Jesus. You pray together. And the leader of your group takes a letter and unrolls it, right? It's on parchment paper and unrolls it. It says it's from the Apostle Paul, the brother Paul. And you hear this letter, and it starts with this beautiful prayer that talks about the love that you've come to know, that its height and its depth and its breadth. And then it says that God can accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ and Christ's power within you. And as you begin to think about what that means, God's power doing more than you can ask or imagine through you, the letter in chapter 4, it speaks to you directly. It challenges you. And it says, It says, are you living a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ? Here's a modern day translation from Eugene Peterson in The Message. In light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, Paul is writing while imprisoned, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. The letter, it's speaking not to an organization or a group. The letter, at this part, it's speaking to you. It says that everyone, not just the leaders, everyone is called to participate in sharing and witnessing to the love of Jesus. Then it says that every one of you have received gifts. Every one of you have been given gifts and talents to share this love, to bring unity and goodness to the world. It's at this point that people will often ask this question. Okay, I get that you're saying that I'm called, but how do I know? How do I know how I'm called? How do I know what my calling even looks like? How do I know what my purpose is, or how do I know what Jesus wants me to do? How do I know what path God wants me to take? Prayer is a wonderful place to begin. Here's another. Presbyterian minister and writer Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite writers, shares this in his book, Wishful Thinking. It's a quote many of you have probably heard me share before. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where is God calling you? Let me invite you this week and this week ahead to take some time, or maybe even this afternoon, and reflect on three questions that we can sort of pull from Buechner's quote. The first question is this: where are you in life right now? Who are your friends? Who are your circles of influence? Who are the people that you see in any given day or in any given week? Think of this as a place, the place where you are right now. The second question, reflect on what do you love to do? If you could do one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? What would you just love to do? And what are you good at? What are your talents? What are your passions? What do people say? You're really good at this. Think of this as your deep gladness. And the third question, what are the needs that you see around you? What are the needs that you see around you? What are the people that are around you? What do you see them needing? Where are people hurting in your community and in your family? Where do you see people who don't right now know the love of Jesus, or aren't confident that they are loved by Jesus? When you've answered these three questions, let me invite you then to look back through and look for the overlap. Where do the things that you love to do, that you're good at, overlap with the needs in the world around you, the things that break your heart? How can you make a difference from where you are right now? Right, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Adam and Jennifer Balduff were here last week visiting, our visiting missionaries from Mission on the Move in Tapachula, Mexico. And they shared a little bit about the mission, their work with orphans there. Adam was a teacher, and Jennifer was a nurse. And I think they shared this in the small group, not in the larger gathering. But Jennifer has this great line when she talks about the story of their calling, of their entrance into the field of mission. And she says, when God is tugging at you, you need to pay attention. You've got to listen. Right? And when they did, God planted them in a place where they were going on mission trips. They were in a place in their lives with the kids at an age where they could go on mission trips, and they were going on mission trips, and they loved doing it. They loved pouring into mission in the world where Christ's love was being shared, where needs of orphans were being met in the world. And as they did that, because of the place that they were in, at the time that they were in, God presented this opportunity where Adam could use his gifts of teaching and Jennifer could use her gifts of care. And they were called to be the missionaries in Tapachula. And it was a huge leap. They had to give up a ton of comfort for their family. They gave up jobs because God had orphans, a need in the world, orphans for them to care for. And God had gifts that God had given them. And now God has already made a huge impact in the lives of kids through them. Now, here's what we're likely to do. You and me both this week, right? We're likely to think about Adam and Jennifer and think, you know, their story is great, but I don't think God is calling me in that way, which I do this myself. And I always find it interesting because, you know, what I'm really doing is I'm limiting God. How do I know that God, I mean, don't I believe God can ask in ways that I can't imagine? How do I know God's not going to call me into some big leap? Right, and for others, we might take some time to think through the questions from the message today, the questions that I posed, or we'll at least write them down with a good intention to spend some time with them later. Then life's going to intervene. Kids and school and work and people that need things and kids that need things. And next Sunday we'll come back and we'll just be looking for the next message. And maybe Paul knew this. I sometimes wonder, maybe Paul knew this as he wrote to the Ephesians, because he has more to say in his letter. He goes on, and this is going to be Brian's paraphrase. This is not even the NIV. This is sort of me just interpreting chapter 4. And Paul really says, you know God has a purpose for you, a path for your life. He wants you to live a life worthy of the calling that he's put in your life. And you know how the love of Jesus has invited you to see the world differently, to have a whole new lens, to live differently in the world. Now do it. Now do it. Put on your new self. He uses the image of clothes. He says, don't wait, Paul says. Clothe yourselves now with the new you that Jesus calls you to be. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it now. Clothe yourselves with the new you. Don't figure it all out first. You'll figure it out. Don't figure it all first. If you're wondering your purpose, how Jesus has called you, set out on the path that Jesus has showed you. Start there. Your call, it isn't something in the future. Your call, your purpose, your path, it's ready right now. Here is where to begin. And then this is what Paul says next. These are his words directly from the NIV translation. Ephesians 4:25-32. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There was a John Mayer song a few years ago called "Waiting for the World to Change." And a similar theme actually appears in the musical Hamilton as Aaron Burr, his character, sings a song called "Wait for It." I love both songs, but I think their messaging is off. Our role in changing the world into a more Christ-like place isn't something that God is developing over the next several years and will holler when the role is fully prepared. And the Holy Spirit isn't something we wait for. It's not like we need to sit around and wait by the phone for God to call and be like, "Oh, yep, here it is. This is your call." You are called to a life of hope and love and service right now. Right now. You see, we live out our calling wherever we are when we live as Jesus taught. We live out our calling when we pay attention to the needs around us, when we give to others, when we watch what we say so that we're building others up, when we're kind and compassionate. Paul's encouragement to the church isn't to wait for your calling, but to live it and to live into it. So, where are you right now in life? What do you love doing and what are you good at? What are the needs you see around you? Well, finally, what might happen? What might happen if all the followers of Jesus at Clay Church ask these questions today and, following the lead of the Holy Spirit working in and through the answers, stopped waiting for the world to change and began to change the world with the love of Jesus? What would happen if all the followers of Jesus in the world stopped waiting for God to do something or for a calling and instead joins God in doing something, living into the calling, living lives worthy of the calling we've received by Jesus? What if we took these words of Ephesians to heart as the first steps of our calling and stepped out there today into a world with broken places and malice and evil and hurt and said, our calling has already begun, and it's to live lives where we build each other up and where we strengthen each other and where we are kind and compassionate and forgiving. What if we lived into our calling now? You're invited. We're all invited to know this day you have a purpose. God is calling you. God loves you. And God has a role for you to play in this incredible story of the love of Jesus. God has a role for you to play in making our world more Christ-like. Amen.